Hi, welcome to GamerCast, episode 130. I'm Adam.
And I'm Paul, and this is GamerCast for the 31st of August 2008.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hey.
What should we start with? Letters?
We're going to start with letters, like we always do. We haven't even looked at the news, dude.
I know.
Oh, well, we're going to be talking about all that stuff for ages, aren't we? Right, letters, we have one from Mr. Killipans Mafia. Well, he's just called Killipans now, so I guess he's left the Mafia. He says, I think YouTube show would be neat. However, only for special occasions, not the regular show. 10-minute shows would be useless. So that's, if you remember last week...
Yep, which I mentioned about the idea of us using YouTube because...
YouTube.
For being able to show people stuff, then...
Tube.
I think...
Tube. YouTube. Tube.
Tube. Tub. Tubes. YouTube.
YouTube.
There we go, new website, let's quit make it. YouTube. Yeah, so we want to hear, we don't want to do it in such a way that is a waste of our time because it's not how people would want to use it for. But yeah, I think it'd be quite cool if we did have something like that. One thing we're looking into is we might maybe using the webcam off my new MacBook to just record.
I've got a webcam here.
And we've got webcam here, so it gives us that.
Well, actually, you can do it, because then I won't have to do it, right? If I use my camera and my computer, then
the other thing that I do like is, with the iMovie thing for editing stuff, which is kind of like the Movie Maker on Windows, it does have an automatic, because of the relationship with YouTube and Apple, it's got the automatic thing where you can program in your account, and I can just push a button and it will upload it into my account automatically. I don't have to try and sign on and go through the web browser at YouTube. I can just let the Mac do it automatically and it's on there. So yeah, we're thinking, like, today would be perfect to do it, but we're not set up to do it, sort of thing.
No, he's only got one bar of battery left.
I got the charger with me there.
I got no plugs for you, what a shame.
I know, shame.
So yeah, that, special occasions maybe.
Yeah.
I think that's the way to go. This Wisp bloke... Hey, Wiss, says also special occasions. That's all the letters we have this week, although I do have an extra thing there I want to complain about.
Okay.
I had this posted on my blog, my personal blog, not GamerCast, on the... let's just open it up here. So those of you who follow my blog will remember back, like a year ago now, I did a post about D3DX9.dll errors. So basically, if you install a game without having latest DirectX on it, on your computer, you get this error saying, you know, I'm missing this DirectX file I need. So I go through about all the games I know it happens on and what the solution is. The solution being, to quote, to either install the version of DirectX on the game's disk or download the latest web update from Microsoft. That's the solution. And I got this stupid, I just got this. And it's like, I'm having this problem with Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare. I can't figure out how to fix it. Help. And it's like, did you even fucking bother reading my post? I said what you need to do to fix it because, you know, just two posts further up, I have a comment saying, you're a lifesaver. I got it in Call of Duty 4. And what? Doesn't this noob read? Yes, Connor, you're a noob. Read my fucking post properly. It's the last paragraph. Surely, you go to the last paragraph, you know.
We have a girl at work, Rachel, and we actually set her up on emails because we know that she reads the first three lines, glances at the rest, and leaves it like that. So we put all the proper information in. So she's like, she rings us up and goes, well, what's happening with it? And I was like, yeah, we are going out tonight. Really? So what time are we going out and where are we going? It's like, did you read the bottom of the email? It actually says where we're meeting up, what pub we're going to, where we're going for a meal. And she's like, oh, right. Oh, yeah. And we do it on purpose now, just to wind her up, because she won't read. It's horrible when people not read all the information. If there's more text to come, then obviously there's more in there.
Yeah, I mean, you know. Oh, God. So yeah, that guy. I was at work when I got the email, and it's like, dude, you fell.
Yeah, you, the answer was there before
the answer's there.
Before anyone did it. He wasn't.
You know, the sad thing is, he's going to be still off now, like 4 hours later, going across the internet looking for a solution.
Yeah.
And it was right there.
Yeah.
Oh.
Never mind.
Hey, look at this. My phone takes GPS photos with the coordinates built into the picture.
That's cool.
It is cute. Nothing really uses it, but it's cute.
Yeah, I think my...
Well, Flickr will do it. If you upload it to Flickr, it will show you.
Yeah, something happens to that with the iPhone, because when I go to take a picture, it says, do you want location turned on? And I'm kind of
the iPhone will do it as well. If with your phone, it will grab the,
the area.
The area you're in, or if you've got
which
GPS.
Which has actually increased a lot more since the 3G phone. The company that is doing it for Apple for... the registering of all this system, because I think they're releasing it for other applications as well, not just iPhone.
Dude.
It's got a lot better, but obviously there's no need because the iPhone's got GPS. Your phone's got GPS. You won't even need it for yours.
But say you're inside,
Metal
roof, but you've still got a phone signal. You won't be able to get a GPS signal under a heavy metal roof.
Yeah.
So it's still,
useful. Yeah, I was using it, I was in Cardiff Bay today and yesterday, and I was hitting it and making it continuously keep dabbing where I was. And one minute it was showing me a whole block, and then next minute it got me right down to roughly where I was on the road. And I was paying attention on the map anyway, and I was like, it pretty much hit me dead on.
Yeah, in Yeovil, you can't get any triangulation because they're just not
I can only get one triangulation in Yeovil, and that's at the flat. It comes straight down on it because it's getting enough information from all the amount of routers that are in the flat now. It's working out.
Yeah, it's using it, the Wi-Fi, yeah.
But anywhere else in Yeovil, it gives me just a rough...
Well, yeah, because O2, there's an aerial over by Wyndham,
yeah,
and it either says you're in that area, or there's an aerial up near the college somewhere,
yeah,
and it says you're up there. Well, within 2 kilometers.
Which is pretty cool. Right, is there something you want to be particularly talking about on this? Spore 5 days. Paul's wearing a really cool T-shirt from work, which is, what does it say on it again? Which is cool. Oh, no. The jumper's coming off. I do like it. It's a nice blue.
It's a stupid blue.
Yeah.
It's like, I was walking around town in it, and I was about, damn, I must look like an idiot. So yeah, it says, tail today, feet tomorrow, and on the back it says...
mutation is good at spore.com. I like the fact that it's one that hasn't got game splattered all over it. It's just... specifically Spore.
It would be better if it was black.
Yeah,
it had a picture of the galaxy, which would look quite good.
I think you'd prefer it if it was black, but you had the classic look where all the adverts for Spore have always been in black with the white character walking across.
Meh. This, I don't mind this, but the trouble is, every time I'm doing something and I see this
blue.
Out of the corner of my eye, I see this blue, and I'm thinking, what the fuck is that? And I look down and
you're wearing a coloured shirt.
Oh yeah, this is new experience.
Colours, oh my god. But yeah, 5 days out this
Friday.
Oh
god, remember those old game tops which I never wore, where they had a purple square in the middle?
Yeah,
it was like they were designed by an idiot, and it's like the one day I had it on before I refused it, I kept seeing this purple and I was like, what the fuck is that? So you see me walking along in the store, I'm like, what the fuck?
See, I did like those ones because the back looked really cool, where it had staff written across the back.
Oh, the front was terrible.
But yeah, the front was terrible. I think it would have been better to have it as kind of like a logo over the chest, and then one on the sleeve, and then staff across the back.
Yeah.
Sort of thing. But, 5 days till Spore, out on Friday. We were having a discussion when I saw you in work last about whether there was going to be a Mac version. We're thinking that from the looks of the editor, it looks like it most likely be on a single disc, both versions on there. What else is coming out? It's for DS as well, isn't it? And
there's some
chopped down version.
There's
which,
some weird version of DS, which obviously
I won't be surprised if we'll see a...
It's a completely different game.
Yeah. I won't be surprised if we'll maybe see in the future, the same with Sims, the... console versions, because they never seem to port them, they seem to just do a chopped
specific version.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, they could pull it off with the PS3 and Xbox 360. They could do a version for that.
Yeah.
I mean, let's face it, Spore runs on my fucking tablet. Integrated graphics.
Yeah.
I mean, granted, it's 2 gig of RAM, but, you know, 1.2 gigahertz processor, the console can handle that. You just have to... I mean, even the UI is fairly console-friendly.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like there's lots of little menus. It's all buttons and...
Yeah, you could easily enough do it that way.
Spore 5 days. I will get it on Friday. I will get my $4.99 back for my thing, which even though it's Catherine's money. Hopefully Catherine doesn't listen to this episode and realise that I know that. I know, I'll have to pay her back now.
I'm definitely...
Although it's 40 quid.
It's 40 quid?
Aye. 40 quid. SRP.
It's expensive, but yeah, most of the...
It's expensive, but meh.
What was... Crisis,
$34.99.
Yeah, where most games you're normally hitting that.
So yeah, they put PC games are obviously. Well, EA think they can get away with it as well, which they can because it's Spore.
Yeah, they seem to be realizing that people will pay a standard $25, $29, $31-ish area for a PC game, but then they can wallop it up for the really good game where people know it is a iconic moment in PC gaming. Top tier game, then they can knock it up. And fair enough, you get the same thing on Xbox 360. Now and again, you get those ones that it's not the limited edition one, they'll knock one out for £49. Rarely happens, or sometimes it's because there's something better about it than the. You'll get that other.
I'll version. Say this now. With PC gaming and the state it's in, what PC game. Well, back up on that. PC games actually not too bad.
Mm.
But. PC has two bays in the shop now. When I started working in the old store, one wall was PC.
Yes, even when I was there, it was from the counter all the way down to the corner and then round the corner a bit. So it was two bays.
Half up. The store was PC.
Yeah.
Now it's two bays and a gondola thing.
Well, yeah, the game that they closed down, which was in Cardiff, they had no PC bays whatsoever through the entire store. It was just console and handheld only, and the upstairs was PC only, and they actually had separate tills for PC up there, and it was PC all the way around, and that was brilliant. And I do remember the game that you're in now when it first turned up when that was game, and the whole of one side was all the PC box. And fair enough, at that time it was kind of like as in your bedroom now with all the massive big chunky boxes, and they do take up a lot going in any direction no matter how you put them on the shelf.
They take three up, or four times as much space, sure.
But still then, boom, a lot more. Gaming was much more on the PC choice than the console.
So I was going to say, if it will get retailers to stock more PC, push the price up.
Yeah. Because you've got, what is it?
That I mean, let's face it here. Although console games have, you know, 5 quid going to Sony or Microsoft or Nintendo or whatever, well, 5 quid-ish, who knows what the actual figure is, and PCs don't, PC games are so much better. I would say, you know, you always have better AAA titles, you know, let's say this again, you have better quality PC games, more in-depth, more detail, more all of that, compared to a console game. So, you know, you've got more stuff in there.
Genre. I would say...
Genre-wise, it's probably about even, but they obviously have their different...
Yeah, there are some things you normally have on a console you won't have on PC, but lately, especially with the things like with PC, with having the Microsoft controller, which is just an Xbox controller, and the wireless dongle...
Yeah, I'm so fed up with people. We've got the crappy shit, flipping crap, bollocky crap gameware controllers, $12.99 or whatever they are, and we've got $24.99... high quality Microsoft controller, you know, standard for all the games, for Windows games, all the buttons are right for all the games, you just plug it in, Windows XP downloads the drivers from Windows Update, plug it in Windows Vista, downloads the drivers automatically, and people still buy the shit controller where they have to put this disc in. No, first they read a little tag on the end which says do not insert this into your PC without installing the CD software, and they read that and they think, okay, we'll install this bollocks on the computer, and it fucks the computer up. And then next thing you know, you have to reboot the computer because it's fucked it up.
Yeah.
And then, you know, you plug the controller in and it doesn't work. So you try to plug it in the different USB port, and eventually after a half hour of faffing around, you get it to work. Then you go to play your game and realize it doesn't work. So you go out of the game, and then you go to, like, you know, the control bit in here, you know, wherever it is, hardware, game controllers. You faff around in here, you go da-da-da-da-da, blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah-blah. And then you realize, oh, all these keys are wrong. But you can't change the keys from here because the keys are controlled in-game. So you go back into the game and you faff around with all the keys, and that after spending 2 hours installing it and setting it all up with the right keys or everything, it works. And then after 2 months, the controller packs up.
Yeah.
Or you could have just got the Xbox one and you just plug it in. And if it's a game's Windows title, which is applicable for controllers, it will just work.
And then your mate asks you to come around and you kind of like...
And the really annoying thing is...
I
was telling some bloke... He had a Windows Vista machine. I said, you get that controller, you'll have no hassle. You just plug it in and it will work. Or you can get that one and, you know, you'll be there faffing around. And when I said, you can just plug it in and it will work, he, like, did this funny smirk. And it's like, well, no, you know, this isn't fucking computers in the 1990s, for fuck's sake. Get real.
Yeah, it's already set up.
Get me my Xbox 360 controller.
And it works.
Yeah. So, you know, that's the trouble when people always look at so much cheaper, and that's why it's... And then, you know, they bitch about why it's shit. Well, they couldn't be bothered to spend the extra 10 quid and get a controller which would last them for years,
yeah,
which would work with their stuff, and, you know, it's a good high-quality controller which isn't going to pack up.
I think the age for PC gamers...
You know, what's the fucking point in having a 13 quid controller what is so much hassle?
Yeah.
What's the... Why bother even having one if you're going to have something which is shit?
It's the same with games.
That's my philosophy. If you're going to have something, get something good. Spend the money, save up for an extra couple of years, and get something good.
It's absolutely classic. When anybody with a games console buys the cheaper one, the reason why they're buying it is so that they can use their more expensive one and their mate gets stuff with the cheap one. No one actually wants to use the cheap one. It's just there as the spare controller to play 2-player or 4-player or whatever. But at the end of the day, you want that great quality. Now and again, you do get some third-party companies that do actually do a decent one, but it's been far and few between that have actually been... I must admit, the last one that I saw that was really good was a SNES controller, and it was basically the casing of a Mega Drive with the more buttons on. And
so yeah, that's how long ago we're talking here.
Yeah, that felt comfortable. It's kind of like, oh, this is better than the small SNES one, and we were playing Street Fighter 2 Turbo on it. And that was so much better because it was a bigger controller. But, you know, you look at PlayStation. Now, fair enough, you went from standard PlayStation 1 with no DualShock and no analog sticks. Then you went analog sticks, DualShock. Then you went DualShock 2, 6-axis, and then the DualShock 3. And if you look at any third-party controllers...
None of them are as good.
They've either copied it and it's cheaper plastic or it's... You know,
or they've tried something else, which, you know,
and it's not 100%. And you look at Xbox, all of the Xbox ones were real cheap and tacky. Now, fair enough, some people did like them at first because they couldn't handle the large Xbox One from Xbox One.
My mum preferred the large controller.
My dad prefers the large one, and then he got hold of a small one, and he just seemed to like it because he could wrap his hands around it. It was a madcap.
His
one.
Hands changed shape.
But
it's like the PlayStation owners. Oh, the Xbox pads suck. It's because their bones have changed shape.
And to be honest, the biggest sell of other gamepad for the Xbox, where people were saying, I don't want one it comes with, they were going to get another one. It wasn't third party. It was actually Xbox official, but official for Japan, and they were getting the Microsoft S controllers.
Oh, Japan.
And then they imported them here and everybody liked them and it was fine.
Speaking of Japan, Xbox 360 has outsold PlayStation 3 in Japan.
Really?
For like 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh,
well, yeah, something like a week or two, I don't know. Because some game came out, a game which I've forgotten, which Catherine is going to say to me later on and say, that was the game you forgot. And then I'm going to feel really bad. But so yeah, some game came out and that's what made 360 sell more.
I must admit, no one's come out with any third-party controllers. It's all third-party accessories.
Well,
that seems
similar
to be the big selling point is what you can
clip
onto the remote.
Look, you can buy a plastic cheapo tennis racket, which they manufacture for 20 pence in a factory in India.
As soon as the Zap thing came out, there's loads of different guns, and fair enough, it gives you a lot of choice.
But yeah. I mean, let's face it, the Nintendo ones are better.
Yeah.
You know, the Nintendo ones are out there to support their platform, which means they have to maintain a good image. They can't skimp on the money.
Yeah,
where the third party ones just, you know, make it as cheap as possible to maximize their profits because they've got no game sales or anything else to, you know, give them money. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad Microsoft have done what they've done with 360 accessories in that you're only allowed to manufacture ones if Microsoft agreed to the quality of them. And they've got like a strict set of tests. Because otherwise, you know, if you try to make a 360 pad, it just won't work because it won't have the like funky encrypted whatever chips in it or whatever.
Yeah.
Which is good because it means we're not stocking 10 quid Xbox 360 controllers, which break after 2 weeks.
Yeah. It's really pushing the, you go make a different controller, then you got to make it as good, up to as quality as we demand. You know, it won't be Xbox 360 controller quality, but it's not going to be, like you said, cheap £10. My brother sat on it and it broke straight away and he was on the couch, you know.
I pressed a button and it broke.
Yeah.
I pressed a button and the button fell inside it.
Yeah.
So yeah, what else is in the news? Well, that's a big rant. iPhone. The iPhone ad has been banned for making false claims.
Which ad was this?
This was the one where they go on about the internet and how you've got the whole internet on the iPhone. Have you seen that one?
Yeah, not the whole internet one, no. I've seen the one where it was the, have you not had internet like this in your pocket? But it's not all about the internet, it was like you've not had mail like this in your pocket.
Let me try and think of what they said in the other. It was the one, you know, promoting the internet on the iPhone. Not the one saying it was faster, but the one actually saying you've got, you know, your Facebook or whatever they use as the example. So that's been banned because it obviously isn't the whole internet. And what the complaint was, it was the iPhone doesn't have Java or Flash.
Yeah, you do.
Java or Flash.
You do get the blue square come up to say that it doesn't have the compatibility for.
Oh, so yeah, I mean, who cares? Who's gonna Flash only sites suck.
Yeah.
Java sucks. I'm not particularly bothered about the iPhone not having it, but it was banned because they said that all the internet was on it.
Yeah.
But one thing which I think the people who complain to the advertising standards agency or whatever they are, is it's not the whole internet. You've got the web.
Mm.
And that's one thing that annoys me. Speaking as an old timer, what about NNTP? What about Gopher? What about FTP? What about Telnet? What about all these protocols? None of that on the iPhone. So of course it isn't the whole internet.
Yeah, you're just saying
that's one of the things, you know. It's this everyone thinks HTTP is like the internet. It's not.
It's one.
As an old timer, I object to web taking over. The web sucks.
Well, yeah.
I'm going back to my fucking Telnet client. You people.
Well, it's like a minute ago. Paul was helping me with my Mac with classic FTP. It is setting up.
Classic FTP. What a get better program.
It was free. I went for the free one.
Pro one probably would have been much better.
But, people's idea of what the internet holds is a very narrow tunnel, just at the nice shiny coloury bit, and they ignore all the geeky stuff that surrounds everywhere else.
It's just one of my pet peeves when people say the internet and what they really mean is the web.
Yeah.
Like, all the adverts did that.
Yeah. But
does your app store have a Gopher client? Does it have a torrent client?
No, but it's there to.
I'm going to download torrents on my phone and get a £70,000 bill.
Yeah, have you seen the thing now where they're trying to. You get letters sent out to you.
Fuck that. Yeah, that's Virgin. I encourage all Virgin listeners to switch to a better internet service provider. One which doesn't threaten its users.
Is it only Virgin that are doing it? Or is it
Virgin's doing it. Maybe some other ones are doing it, but Virgin's the big one which is doing it.
So what is it? They're just saying, putting out letters saying, we know you're doing it. Can you
Hi, we've seen you using BitTorrent. Even though BitTorrent can be used for legitimate purposes, we're sure you're a criminal.
Yeah, exactly.
I used BitTorrent the other day to download a Linux distro. I must be a criminal. Granted, it was a £200 Linux distro, which is commercial. Although, of course, it's not. But
yeah, you know, we could be using
GPL, dude. GPL.
BitTorrent to pass stuff across. You know, I could have gone over
the WoW downloader uses peer to peer.
Yeah.
Similar technology. Am I a criminal for using sharing? you know, peer-to-peer stuff.
You know,
that's what pisses me off.
You could have some guy sat in an office and he is editing together footage from someone who is filming, say, out in the savannah or something like that, wildlife, and they haven't got the time to finish with the tape stock to get it back. He is loading it all onto his computer, and then at night time he's leaving the computer on, sends the torrent file on email, which is nice and small, and then the guy is peer-to-peer ripping it off, or he leaves the, you know, the laptop sat there all evening while he's going off doing more filming.
Well, it's better for big downloads, yeah, when you have a big cloud of people downloading.
Yeah. You can really pass that stuff along.
So yeah, just, you know, Richard Branson, you suck even more than you did yesterday. Even though this is like a month old news and Adam just catching up.
No, it was Sarah saying no more.
No more what?
BitTorrent fraud. She said go easy on it, because I've been hardcore lately. Even more now I've got that thing, because I sit and surf the internet and carry on playing without while I leave the PC humming away, downloading everything.
Dude, you're gonna give PCs a bad rep. PCs are used to download wares for the Mac. Mac Photoshop.
It's a Mac bitch.
Right. God, I'm really having trouble talking today, aren't I?
Yeah.
Other news this week: Internet Explorer 8 Beta 2 has been released.
Sweet.
I have to say, speaking as somebody who used Internet Explorer Beta 1, I like it.
It's good.
I will open it up so Adam can marvel in its greatness.
You had a lot of... Because when you had the beta, you had that button to move it back.
Yeah, you had a button here called Emulate IE7.
Yeah, because you did have some trouble. This doesn't have the button and doesn't require it. I'm guessing it's a lot more sturdier.
Well, it's not about the browser. Because with Microsoft moving Internet Explorer 8 to be more compatible with, you know, Safari, Opera, Firefox,
yeah,
and so on, a lot of the old code, or a lot of the old IE hacks, which people used, especially in the IE6 timeframe, just won't work. They'll break.
Yeah.
Because Internet Explorer is getting this dodgy hacked code, which was fine for IE6 and in some cases IE7, but isn't any good. But as long as the website's shoving it the same materials it's given Firefox or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't really affect my websites, because I do my CSS and things like that so that I'm not using anything too fancy. So even, you know, IE7 will happily render along with Firefox. But you still have the button. It isn't up here at the moment, but if I go to a website which it thinks is a bit iffy, like, I don't know, maybe the BBC News website works now. But it will show me that anyway, so I can click that. But I mean, before, if you remember the BBC website, the text would stick out the bottom of the page.
Yeah.
You can, well, that's fixed, but you can click the button anyway and it will put it back into compatibility mode, which looks the same.
Yeah.
Because the website works. And you can unclick it. The advantage now is you can just click the button, you don't have to restart the browser.
Okay.
Or anything like that.
Is that something that's always going to be about when it's released for those web pages that aren't going to be compatible?
I imagine they're going to keep it in there. They've got options here where you can actually specify certain websites to use in compatibility mode, and if you want to use it on intranet or internet. So you could check it to display all websites.
Oh, that's cool.
So I put these ones in compatibility mode. I don't know why complex.
And that's not just putting up the button, that's also activating the button as soon as you go on the website. So if you've got one that never really works and it really has a hard time with it, as soon as you go on that website, it goes, oh, here we go, and it translates back to the other code.
So yes, yeah, working quite well. So you've got tabs. They've renamed the web, not web slices, they've renamed activities to web to accelerators now.
Okay.
So, you know, you could highlight, say, if we highlight that paragraph, and you get the funky button up, and then you can, you know, email it to somebody or translate it, for example, and you can do all that without having to copy and paste it and stuff. And you can download more of those accelerators, so if you want to use Gmail or, you know, if you want to use Google Maps and look up an address, you can do that as well instead of using these built-in ones.
That's cool.
So that's good. Another new feature is, you see we've got these tabs. If I open that tab on Gamercast.net, and I say, for example, want to quickly check out our episode list in a new tab, it will detect these tabs are related somehow. and colour them so they all match. So this will become more apparent if I open up some things on the BBC website as well. And if I open up another tab and go to Poodle Forums, show me the forums. There we go.
Okay. So it's randomising first colours come.
So yeah, you've got, instead of just having a big load of tabs, they're now grouped by colour.
Okay, so you're colour tagging all of them in groups. Now, it still has the ability to grab a tab and change the order, right? But it's broken.
No, that breaks.
Okay, so you break the colour tab by moving them, but if you leave
them
more,
that'll probably be fixed in the final version.
Okay. But so that's good, because it means if you've got an abundance of tabs, see, that's quite good if you're...
See, and they're slightly, you know, even on the, you know, multi-view, they're tab green as well. So you can quickly see at a glance which tabs are related to one another.
I'm kind of curious if, say, for instance, when I'm doing research and I find some articles in IGN or something like that, and you open up a couple from IGN and a couple from here, whether it's going to be automatically going, oh, they're all connected together, or is it because you're opening a new window from a link in a set website?
It's done from the link, so if I open Ofcom's website from the BBC, it's the same colour.
Right.
So it does it by where you open the link from.
Okay.
Not the actual address or anything.
Okay.
So that's cool, although I wish they'd toned down the green. The green is like hyper-green.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my god, Tribune City.
It's good if you've got a lot of tabs up, because it'll allow you to realise if...
Oh yeah, I can quickly see at a glance where a tab is without having to
look. You know, you know you're looking on some Microsoft website and you're looking for this download patch for some piece of software you've just got, and at the same time you were looking on Amazon at books and you were on the search page but you opened up loads of more books, but then again you were doing something else after that where you're looking for that gap between the Amazon and the thing you were doing afterwards. It allows you to segregate of, you knew the next one after your first one was Amazon, but you don't know how many more of those tabs are all those books you were looking at. And then you can kind of see, oh, they're all green, that's where the books finish, that's the tab, and you can, I suppose it saves you doing the click, 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 all the way down the tabs. And I must admit, when you've got a lot of tabs, they shorten out. And when you get a short amount of tabs,
it's hard to see what they are.
It's so easy, if you're not careful, to accidentally click the cross and close a tab. I've done that a couple of times, being too fast going across.
Yep.
Yeah, I like that.
So you can also now reopen any tabs you've closed. So it's got a list of all the pages you had open. So you can quickly, if for example I accidentally closed down Gamercast, I can hit that and Gamercast will open. So that's good, because...
Where is that? Because that's obviously on your what you can do.
When you open a new tab, you get this page.
Okay.
So that's good, because before you had to use a plugin to do that.
Okay.
Another feature which I don't have installed on my browser is the quick search. So the search box has been improved a lot. And for example, at the moment they've got a Wikipedia thing.
Mm.
And if you basically search, you know, you put in George Bush, it won't work on here because I don't have it installed. But it will actually show a list of all the pages on Wikipedia. You can click on all these, you can click on Google or Yahoo or whatever. And it will show you a list of all the search results automatically without having to go to the page.
Yeah.
Plus, it will show you related images as well. So if you're using the Amazon one, for example, and you're on another page and you can type in on there, you know, Canon 350D, it will show you all the product lists, but it will show their pictures as well.
Yeah.
That's cool, because you can do it straight from the search.
Because it's like with Firefox 3... I'm liking the whole search down, going down on the address bar, and the same with
the awesome bar.
Yeah,
yeah.
And
the new thing on Google is actually quite decent. Isn't it? George, but it's not going to work now.
But because one thing that I do like on my Mac was the on the right hand side you got quick search, which is it's very similar to the start menu there. But because the dictionary is built in, one of the ads is the fact that you get the dictionary. Because I thought that on Vista was absolutely amazing, because it just means you can start going through your emails, going through everything, your web browser, your whole entire lot, and your apps as well. And I do like the fact that that's in OS X Leopard, but I did like the fact that the dictionary came up and actually gave me the dictionary word and the definition after it that you can click on and go into more detail. And one thing that I thought was really weird, and I know I would never use it, but I know Sarah would, you could type in the search 155 times 12 and it gives you the answer, which was very bizarre. Yeah, because it doesn't mean the search ones, yeah.
Yeah, so that's cool. But what I was saying is, so the search has been massively improved. It's also got inline search now, which is good. Because before I had to use a plugin.
Yeah.
So that's what Firefox has got, obviously.
Yeah.
It's like you said about the awesome bar in Firefox. It has something similar. Say something.
Gamercast again. Yeah.
It shows me suggestions. So like the actual address, Gamercast on there. It shows me my history.
Mm.
So it shows me my portal forums link with Gamercast in the title, my favorites and my feeds, which Firefox doesn't do all these.
Yeah.
But Firefox one actually looks better because it puts the images as well.
I think it's it is really good with having, not necessarily Safari, but with Firefox and Internet Explorer, I like the fact that no one is saying this is just ours. Other people are doing their version of what someone else has done, and Firefox will go, right, we'll put the bar up to there, and Microsoft, okay, I see your raise, I'll meet your raise, and I'll raise you another 5.
They're not playing poker.
No, but it feels like the competition is making using Explorer and Firefox, they're becoming a lot more intuitive in the fact that everything's much more at your fingertips to grab hold of.
Oh yeah,
the new competition and
the new Firefox 3, I wasn't a fan of 2. I thought 2 sucked
because
it was just 1.5 pushed up to 2 artificially.
Yeah,
but Firefox 3 is really good.
Sarah's been using the been on the beta since it came out because she's been using it at work.
But I don't use Firefox. I have a few issues with it. It doesn't look as good as Internet Explorer from a UI point of view.
Yeah.
Internet Explorer looks a lot more neat and tidy. Also, Firefox is no good on my tablet. Because they're not using the standard Windows forms for their text boxes, the tip won't appear to actually input text.
Right.
So you'd have to do it manually, and that's just, archaic. So that's cool. The so the address bar behaves like the Firefox 3 one now, which is good to have in there. Although it does do an extra few things the Firefox one doesn't. What else? You've seen the favorites bar across here. You can put your favorites and web slices and all that.
Yeah.
I turn it off because it's annoying. Safety now. You've got an in-private browsing mode now.
Okay.
So what this will do is it will block all third-party content from web pages. It knows you're in private because it says a little button there, and it will delete everything you've been at. So if I go to pick a website, Noob Hunter.
Yeah.
Noob Hunter. If I go to that, when I close that browser window down, it'll delete from my history all evidence I was there, any cookies from there, everything. It would just go gone.
I like that. Because you're saying,
I like that. I can look porn now and Sarah would know.
I like the fact that you can go somewhere where you're a little bit unsure, you're looking for some information, you're starting to walk down that nasty path of like, remember when I was at uni and I was hunting for this freaking game trailer, I think it was one of the Splinter Cell games, went onto a website and before you know it, my computer got trashed, and via text message Paul had to describe to me how to reformat my hard drive just to wipe it off and start again.
I remember that.
And
I was thinking, Adam, you're an idiot.
And it was just completely and utterly screwed. And it.
Well, this has nothing to do with that.
Yeah.
Vista will do that anyway. It just won't let the content run.
But I like this just for the fact you won't have the cookies, you won't have the bits and bobs.
Cookies, files, images, temp internet folder, everything. There'll be no evidence that you were on this website unless you actually broke out a hard drive thing and actually piece together the raw bits of data which haven't been overwritten on the hard drive yet. So that's cool. You've like in private blocking for blocking third party stuff. Smart screen filter now, which is, Internet Explorer 7 had the phishing filter. This will also check a list against known malware sites and things like that. I turn it off because it slows it down. You also get security reports now and like an easy to find location on the menu. So if I close that and if I look in today's history, New Punter will not be on there.
Cool.
So that's cool. Obviously porn is, I mean, all the press have dubbed it the porn browser. But I mean, the example Microsoft gives is you're shopping for a gift for somebody, or you're just using somebody else's machine and you don't want to leave them with all the crap you've like looked at.
Well, yeah. I went on Sarah's computer and she was like, right, do not go on any tabs to the left. And she actually went and smacked a load more tabs out that had nothing to do with what she was doing. But it shrunk the tabs down so the tags on the tabs weren't visible on Firefox 3, so I couldn't see what she was looking at. Because majority of those were all my birthday present websites that she was getting my birthday presents from. Where, you know, if we were sharing a computer, it means that you're not in any private mode. You haven't got the ability to go buy yourself, go, you know, order tickets to a movie or, you know, get a holiday booked without your girlfriend realizing what you were doing and stuff like that. Fair enough, I can see issues with the fact that this browser is being pumped out to work, that people could get away with the fact it's not being used, but obviously computers are all set up so that there is some sort of big brother looking on to make sure work.
Oh yeah, if this is a company and you're putting in private mode, the company will still know what you're doing because they can see the traffic as it goes over the line.
Yeah.
This can't block anything like that.
Exactly.
It just deletes it all from the computer when you close the instance. You can also delete things directly from this from the address bar now.
That's cool.
So you can quickly delete any history you don't want people to see. It's also got another cool option called turn on suggested sites. And what this will do, this is the complete opposite of in private. This will send your data back to, I don't know, Microsoft or somebody, and they can see what websites you've been looking at. And then they can suggest other websites which you might like. So I'll just read it out. Do you want to discover websites you might like based on websites you've visited? Suggested Sites is an online service that uses your browsing history to make personalized website suggestions. So that's interesting. I've turned it off because I don't particularly want Microsoft knowing what websites I've been visiting.
I suppose...
But some people might like it.
Yeah, if you're a type of person...
Some people who aren't looking up how to make atomic bombs and things on the internet.
Your website traffic is very, very genre hit in the sense of, say you're on a set forum, but you're on not just any all loads of forums, you're on a particular forum for argument's sake, PC, how to build PCs or something like that, or a mini forum or something along those lines, but you're only going to the one, and you're shopping for books all the time because you love reading books, and then another one for DVDs, and if that's all you ever use the internet for and check your email, then obviously that data would turn around and go, well, have you seen this shop? This online forum.
I think it's a really good idea.
It's going to open up people's possibilities because most people get onto specific websites for what they do. A majority of it is word of mouth.
What it will do is it will break the monopoly the search engines have over whose websites get visited.
Yeah.
Because you hit in a few queries into Google or wherever, and you go to the website closest to the top.
Mm.
Well, the one which is, you know, seems most good.
Yeah.
To the top. But you won't go to a website which maybe is just as good 10 pages back.
Yeah.
So, you know, hopefully this could, you know, readdress the balance that some of the big websites
this is
have.
What, this is all of what Sarah does for a living, is she works through to Google through Screwfix for the whole making sure that when you type in DeWalt 18-volt power drill, Screwfix will be at the top when you come to it, because most people won't go to the... By the third page, they've got bored, and they'll just stick with the first.
So Sarah's job is to try and cheat the search results.
Well, with the whole pain to make sure that you get Screwfix, you don't get Toolstation come up at the top.
Toolstation, they rock.
But a lot of people won't go that far back. Then you get people like us, where we will quite happily know the way that the monopoly of the internet search engine goes, and we use it to our advantage by saying, right, well, I will go to the next three pages back till I find what I'm actually looking for, not what they're telling me I should look for. But yeah, I like that.
Cause there's just so much new in it. It's now a lot more customizable. You know,
that's cool.
Before IE7 was really locked down, you can now really open it all up and drag your buttons around, and you know,
drag
you can move these buttons over here and move that over there.
obviously you can't see what Paul's doing, but he's basically grabbing the...
grabbing all the bits of the browser and moving it around.
Yeah, so between like the live search bar and the address bar, you can actually grab the space in between and actually make it so your address bar is tiny, but your search bar is really large. So I suppose that if you're kind of like, well, I never really type in there, but I type more
there.
Well,
yeah, my parents, for example, they never type in the address bar.
Yeah.
The web browser opens, they type the flipping address in the search box. And it's like... You've got a bar up there.
Yeah, some people... Some people believe that the internet doesn't go anywhere unless you go onto a search engine. They believe that there is no... The search engine is a taxi to get to the store, but at the end of the day, if you want, you can walk straight there.
There's just lots new in it. It's, you know... Feeds. What's new in feeds? Address highlighting, so you can see what website you're on by the... it'll darken the domain and top-level domains.
That's cool.
So it's good for phishing websites. Because they'll obviously use a part of the name of the bank, for example, in the address. But it will highlight the actual domain you're on.
Right.
So, you know, that will help that. Zooming, that's pretty much the same. I don't know, there's just loads which is new. Oh, the developer tools. These are... so much better than in the last beta version. You can really crack this out, debug all your code. There's a script debugger. You can tell it's rendering the old IE quirks mode, or in Internet 7 mode, or Internet 8 standards mode, or you can emulate browsers. There's the developer tools are really awesome. They're like comparable to Firefox.
That's cool.
It's cute.
Right.
So yeah, Internet Explorer 8, I would seriously recommend everybody checks it out. There's a few issues here and there. I've had it sometimes when I hit my blog, it would forget to render one paragraph, but that's like happened twice in the last like 3 or 4 days.
And if not, a definite go check it out when it's ready.
When it's finalized, it should be installed on every computer in the world, even if you just use Firefox. Yeah. Because, you know, it is an OS component and it should be upgraded.
Yeah.
Even if I said you use Firefox or something else. It's a really good browser. They've put in a hell of a lot of features.
I suppose one thing is, it definitely put it on Vista.
Performance! Oh my god, the performance is like twice as fast as IE7 as well.
Because if you use Firefox, say you like Sarah, she's on Firefox. She's on Firefox 3 now. But she only uses 7.
Firefox and its 10-minute load time. Yeah,
she only uses 7 when she gets on a website that really can't handle anything else, and she needs to use IE.
I don't like it.
She's had a couple of occasions with trying to for her studies, the qualifications she's doing at the moment, the university's website where you get your documentation off. Really didn't like anything other than IE. So you went into there. So I must admit, for Firefox users, it is a good thing to update, because even if you're never going to use it, for those occasions where you do have to use it, you're going to have a similar interface and you're going to feel a little bit more that... what am I doing?
Well, it should be updated for... Like I said, it's an OS component and lots of applications use Internet Explorer. Steam uses Internet Explorer to render its pages.
Yeah.
If they're like a couple of years down the road and there's a vulnerability in IE7, which doesn't get patched for whatever reason, you know, Steam is vulnerable to that.
Yeah.
So it should be updated because it's an OS component. Just because you use Firefox doesn't mean you shouldn't stick IE8 on the box. Obviously, that only applies when it's final. If you actually do use Internet Explorer, check it out, because it is, like I said, quite a lot better. Although it is beta, so there is one or two bugs, but they've been few and far between for myself.
Cool. Right, next, we got two reviews.
Next, we spent like £2,000 between us, man.
Yeah.
We've destroyed GamerCast's budget.
Yeah, we bought some new toys.
Yeah, charge your stuff to GamerCast.
Yeah, Paul's got himself the HT Touch. HTC Touch Pro. And I got myself a MacBook Pro.
And I broke the bank.
Yeah, it scared the crap out of me, because when I bought it, I had the money from my savings put into my main account, but that's where I get paid from work, and I got paid. So my work money, which I think only one bill gets paid instantaneously as soon as the work money comes in, that moves straight away. But bar that, everything in, and I looked at my bank account, and it went, £3,000, like, I've bought the laptop, why have I got so much money? And I realised Apple weren't
going to... You realised Apple forgot to charge you?
Yeah, Apple weren't going to charge me until they finished processing my notebook and it was on its way. So when they got it ready to send, then they charged me. And then the money came out, but it was like, whoa, it's a lot of money, but...
But it's like my tablet, it didn't come out for like a week after I received it.
Yeah, I was kind of scared, it's like, oh my god, I don't spend it. But yeah, I'm happy with it. I was saying to Paul, after having it on my lap, putting it on the desk, moving around it, carrying it, I am glad I didn't go for the 17-inch. The 17-inch probably is nice.
You are using it as a mobile computer.
Yeah, I move around a lot more.
It's not just sat on the desk.
No.
Because the 17-inch is too big for your lap, really.
Yeah. It was also the mixture between the extra cost compared to the weight that I'm going to get. There will be no more performance because the 15-inch and the 17-inch can go on the same side. You're literally getting a better resolution and a bigger screen. You don't get a bigger keyboard. You get more USB ports, but you get less battery time. It does run on less battery. It's not that much
bigger
less,
screen.
It's running the bigger screen. Laptop itself, more in the sense of ignore the OS because you can't put Vista on it, but it's the laptop itself. Very nice. I do love the magnetic power cable. Very cool. I was a little bit bothered thinking magnet. That is actually probably going to come out too easily. When I go into the side of the thing, it just goes, poof, shoot, near enough shoots out my hand and it sticks to the side of the... It's like, nope, the hole's there. And then you put it in. It's lovely. Oh, Paul's playing with his phone.
I've got a magnet too.
Magnet, I like that. Like that.
In your face, noob.
Yeah, so, let me grab it because I'm trying to memorize what's on it. It's better if I look at it. Port-wise, you got on the right-hand side USB, and then you got 400 FireWire, then 800 FireWire, and then Ethernet cable. Ethernet cable. I'm renaming them as I go. Then you got your digital
DVI
port, which is quite sweet. It also comes with a short cable to go in there that connects to analog. So if you're plugging into a monitor that's analog, it allows
it's got
you to...
a VGA adapter block.
Yeah. You can buy them separately, but they
they're all monitors of DVI now.
Yeah. Then you've got your express port, and then you've got headphones, mic, another USB port, and then the
power
on the magnetic. Underneath is pretty simple. It is literally running off two catch for the slimline battery with a button to say how much power is in there, with a removable area for the catch where the RAM is stored in, but it's not easily accessible. You will have to go at it with a screwdriver to get in there. Then you've got release catch. They have yet to release them with the magnetic MacBook catches. They are still running off a mechanical catch. And then to the right, you've got the CD-ROM sliding tray, where it's the feed loader one, like PlayStation 3 and the Wii. One thing that you can see straight away if you're looking at any picture is if there is a space above where the CD goes in to the top, you're looking at a 15-inch, where if it is higher up to the top, it means you're looking at 17-inch. So physically, there is a difference. To the left of the catch, there's also infrared port, which is for accessing with the remote.
Oh my god, I don't think my phone's got infrared.
I
just thought about that. Yeah. These phones don't have infrared ports.
Infrared is not...
It sucks, I can't use it to change the channel on TV now.
Yeah, this is not for anything other than access for the remote. So if you're using it as a DVD player, or you're hooking it up to the TV to watch something, if you've got the remote, you can hit pause. I'm liking that idea because the amount of times it's my turn to get up to hit pause on Sarah's laptop if we were watching a film straight off there. It does have an LED that strobes on the actual catch to let you know that it's in sleep mode, so you don't just go shove it in your bag knowing that you're not going to come back to it for 3 days and you stupidly just close the lid and forgot to shut it down. So it lets you know.
Hang on, so doesn't it, like, after, say, it's realised, hang on, I've not been used for 6 hours, and then it hibernates?
I'm not entirely sure I haven't gone into any features like that. It probably does do it, but you know that you've gone that far. Keyboard wise, it's nice. I am missing.
Keyboard isn't bad. It's not as good as the Dell Inspiron 1710.
It, for typing, I've been finding it good. It's a little bit weird, but fair enough. When I type, I'm at work. And when I'm at work, I've got the ergonomic keyboard like Paul has. And I have an ergonomic keyboard at home as well. So it, the only thing that's freaking me out is the fact I'm having to go back to a standard keyboard.
You're thinking, oh my god, where are my keys?
But yeah, shift's nice because it's got an LED in it for the shift lock. So it, I
caps
thought,
lock.
Yeah, the caps lock, I thought, oh, where is it? But it actually looks like a shift button, but it's got an LED and it's a slightly different thing. Arrows are quite small, but
return's a bit small as well.
Yeah, the return is a little bit small, and I'm worried that I'm going to hit the forward slash and the other bracket button. But yeah, I have not. I've realised that is where I'm hitting with the return. So yeah, not too bad. Function keys, nice and small. They're out of the way, but they're hittable, as well as the fact they are all function keys. So that controls everything on the laptop to the backlighting, because all of the characters all illuminate when it's not got enough light. I haven't yet remembered. Oh no, it's not turned on, that's why it's not doing it. But normally I stick my hands over the speakers and the keyboard will illuminate. So you can control the brightness of that. If you're finding that's a little bit too bright, you're trying to watch something and it's getting in your way, you can dim it down but still see what you're doing. And then you've got your volume, eject, and all your other bits and controls and stuff. Like Paul said, speaker wise it's nice with a stereo just being on either side of the keyboard, using up that extra space. Touchpad, I do like it. I'm actually finding it much nicer than some PC ones for the fact that they're a little bit daddly small.
Yeah, it's quite big, isn't it?
It is nice, and I think they had to make it big just for the fact that it's got fact he knows how many fingers I'm using. Like it's multi-touch, like your phone, it's picking up between all the different fingers for the different things. Myself, I am liking it, but I'm still not doing it with the fact using two fingers,
you have to get used to it,
locks the mouse out and the mouse doesn't work anymore, and it means when I move it I scroll up and down, but I'm still finding myself going trying to get the mouse to the top right hand corner, and then I use my thumb, click on the scroll bar, and then I scroll down, and then I get halfway down and think, shit, I just used two fingers, it's quicker. But it's just
I get a mouse wheel.
Yeah, I'm used to using a mouse wheel. So
I'm used to my Penflix.
It's getting used to everything that's doing it. Screen wise, it's great quality. I am really liking it.
What resolution is it?
To be honest,
I forget.
I honestly do forget.
Turn it on and I'll tell you.
Let's turn it on. Screen for the amount that goes around at the band, it's you're getting more screen, which is quite good. I do like the fact that it's not.
Okay, we're timing its boot up. We're timing it.
And then you've got the eyesight camera at the top, which is quite good quality, and I like the fact that it's got the webcam built in.
Dell Inspiron 1710 or whatever has as well. All laptops do.
Yeah, all laptops do these days. And
my tablet doesn't.
You get a bit of a
just. But then it would just like look up my nose.
Yeah.
Okay, you're on the desktop.
Okay.
Okay, that was 3 minutes, 40 seconds.
I'm sure it's on here. Or not.
Just, dude, you have to get used to the Mac. Hit the Finder and just type in resolution, and it'll go to the right part in the control panel. No, that's wrong, dude.
Yeah.
No, that's wrong. No, dude, it's loading. Wait.
Here we go. And then resolution with a Z?
Resolution is always with an S.
Res. Oh, come on, dyslexia here trying to type a big word.
R-E-S-O-L-U-T-I-O-N.
Reference display?
Maybe.
There we go.
So what resolution is it?
500
by 400. My phone's high res.
It's 1440 by 900.
Okay, that's not too bad. Would have been best to push it up a little bit.
The
The 17 inch does go up to the monitor size we're on.
1920 by 1200.
Yeah. But yeah, that's not too bad. But yeah, I must admit, one of the big things I'm having to learn real quick here is the fact that I have used Macs before, but I've always used someone else's Macs. I'm not allowed to install stuff, I'm not allowed to uninstall stuff. It was at college, it was there as a tool, I used it, I got on with it, I put it away. So to have it as my computer and start playing and start tweaking stuff.
Have it as your computer and then you break it.
It's like I was saying to Paul, I had to go on a
change
forum.
That fucking wallpaper, mate. Thing. Get like some landscapes in there.
I did that. I thought you'd appreciate the whole being able to go for that one.
Maybe that's terrible.
Fish.
No.
Classic fish.
Landscapes.
Well, landscapes.
Terrible.
Landscapes.
Good ones.
Plants. Nature. Abstract.
Landscape. Look, dude. Look at my Windows Vista things. I've got good landscapes because Microsoft like landscapes like me.
They like landscapes, do they?
Yeah, I think it's time to change mine.
One thing that I did like.
There we go. Let's have that one.
One thing I did like in this, which Sarah's always having a go at me about my desktop pictures, that they change on a regular basis, and she keeps saying, "Why haven't you got a picture of us?" Because she's got a picture of us in Canada on her laptop, and I said, "I don't need to have a picture of you because I've got a giant photograph of her to the right of the monitor, so I can see a picture of her at all times. And this picture is in my den of Sarah, so I don't need to have her on my thing." And I liked having different quirky pictures.
I cannot have things like that on my desktop because it's too distracting.
Yeah, but
well, if that's distracting, it's a field full of rocks.
But the thing is, I change mine quite a lot, and one thing I do like on here is you can set it to say, right, every day pick a different picture out of this folder. So I had it going through, and every time I turned it on, I had a different picture, which was quite nice. So for that, you could get like your folder, and you shove in all your favourite pictures and rotate.
Yeah, you can do that on Windows as well.
Which I thought was quite good. I have seen someone set it up to go into the
Flickr.
The phone booth, picture, the photo booth. Pictures that were taken in on the camera of people playing around with all the iMacs in PC World, and someone had set it up, and it was constantly changing of pictures of these stupid girls posing in front of this iMac, and I'm just kind of like, oh, for God's sake, I ain't doing that on mine, even if it is loads of personal pictures. The idea of it constantly flicking from one photo to another.
Why don't you just play a video?
Yeah, you could play a video. I used to play video when
I've got you now, boy.
On Vista, I always had a video on, but it really screwed up my the power of it. It was taking up too much RAM because my computer just about runs. From the looks of it, I know this one.
I never have a video running because when it has a video running, the machine won't sleep because it thinks you're playing back media. Because it is playing back media. Oh, that's not too bad.
Screensaver wise, what do you think? This is my screensaver.
I don't have screensavers on.
There's my screensaver.
What about it?
I thought you'd appreciate it. It's lots of photographs of space.
No, really.
I actually turned that on.
We don't need screensavers nowadays. Just turn the fucking display off.
Yeah, although I have to make sure I never do that because I've got so many things hooked up to the USB ports in my computer that some things don't like being turned off.
What, you mean on your monitor like mine?
Yeah.
Here's a tip. Put it onto S-Video and it will blank the screen and go into standby in a second without actually powering the monitor off and losing all your USB devices.
Very good top tip there. I like that. I'm definitely going to start doing that more often. But yeah, I'm liking the dock and the whole stacks. The stacks on it is great. But yeah, we were trying not to talk about the OS. Really. We were just talking about the system.
You can talk about the OS if you want, but I'll get in a debate with you and you will lose.
But yeah, I must admit, I would definitely...
See, this is Windows Vista. I can launch an application twice as fast.
I would say you know, this is probably even good if you were thinking, I like it, but I'm not too sure on the operating system, then you could quite happily just get rid of as much as you can off it, segregate the hard drive, leave bugger all to run OS X, and then shove Vista on it, and you've got the rest of the hard drive for Vista, and you can use it as a Vista laptop. Bloody expensive Vista laptop, but hey, if you got the money.
Yeah, it is a bloody expensive Vista laptop, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, for the fact that it doesn't...
For 1600 quid, you can get a lot of PC.
But it doesn't come with Vista. That's the whole point.
Meh.
So you've got to have to go buy Vista anyway.
It will come with Windows one day. Give it time. Apple will cave. There's no money to be had in developing their operating system.
But yeah, I'm really liking it. I'm still playing.
Still getting used to it.
Yeah, it's... And that's the thing I'm liking about it. As much as I do like PCs, and I will continue to use PCs for the rest of my life as well.
In fact, I know within a month you'll have Windows on it.
But...
Which you'll be thinking, damn, I wish I could play that game.
But one of the... my voice is going down because I'm over here. One of the things I do like about it is because it's a Mac, I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm getting excited because everything seems new. It was exactly the same as when I had Vista. I liked Vista because I didn't know how to do anything.
That's why everyone hates it.
And I spent half the time
going... They fucked up the control panel.
And I spent half the time going, ooh, what does this do? Ooh, what does this do? Oh, and... No, fair enough, I admit it. I do get annoyed when I can't find anything because I'm like, oh, I just want XP. I know how to, know what I'm doing. But... You know, it's all the different features. I do like that. I like exploring. I like going, ooh, this does... Oh my god, I didn't even... I've had the operating system for 6 months and I didn't even know it did this, you know. I'm liking that. I'm learning that all over again with learning a Mac operating system. It's nice to learn something new. So, as a toy, very, very cool. Definitely recommend one. The great thing I like about it is, as a laptop, I definitely recommend one, and for the fact that you could put whatever operating system you wanted on it anyway. Liking it as a Mac, I'm quite happy with it. My personal preference. But yeah, as a laptop, definitely liking it. Weight wise and the dimensions of it, I'm thinking it is very nice. I've had to get up a couple of times to answer the door when Sarah's had her hands full of bags and shopping bags and stuff, and she couldn't get to her house keys. And I found it quite easy to get up and move around with it. It was...
Adam can lift the laptop up.
Where I've had her laptop on my lap, and I'm kind of like, oh, this is awkward. And for the fact the keyboard is smaller than the laptop, it's out the way. You can hold onto it and not feel like you're smacking keys. So, yeah, for that reason, definitely... do like it. I like the smoothness edge of it, and it's stylistically it is lush. And the thing I do like about it is the fact that the Apple symbol on the back actually lights up when you turn it on.
See, this is my tablet PC. This will boot inside of 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay, it's a cold boot, we're not counting. Right, so you like it then?
Yeah.
You're pleased with it?
Yes.
Do you think it's a good load of money to spend on a computer?
Yeah, I'm quite happy with it. I'm not thinking, oh my god, this is just a laptop. I still need to get a new desktop. I may get another... I wouldn't be surprised that my next computer will be another desktop, because I'm going to...
Oh yeah, you wouldn't get an Apple desktop machine. A waste of time.
But it's...
You'll get it and think, oh my god, I just wasted so much money when I could have this epic, uber-powerful computer.
I must admit, I am actually... partially considering getting an Apple as a desktop. What I was thinking is I'll get one in the future and I'll get the Mac Pro, because a hard drive is big enough that I can sufficiently run OS X and Vista with lots of space, because the hard drive bed...
I've got a PC. I'll just stick 8 hard drives in it, terabyte each.
Yeah.
Oh, did my computer just make a noise?
Yeah.
I've just finished waking up. Okay, right. Cold boot. It's not fair. Not fair comparison. I thought it was just hibernating. Right. I've got something for you already. This is the switcher guide from macOS 10 to Windows. I suggest you read it as it gets posted up. So this is for all the people out there who've got Macintoshes and who want to switch to Windows. Highly recommended. There you go, Adam. I've got it ready for you. Anyway, let's crack on with the next part of the show.
Yep, your new phone.
We'll talk about my new phone I just spent 10 minutes cleaning.
Yep.
fucking fingerprint fucking shiny
before
screens.
You go into it again, I'm putting the point across, this is what we're thinking, that we'll go into more detail with the whole
YouTube
webcam
junk,
YouTube thing, but at the moment we're doing an overview of our new toys. I must admit we'll probably do something where we're like, cool, our new toy does this, and then
our new toy does this, we've only just found out about.
So I do like the cover for that. I like the way that it flattens out.
The diamond cover is better because it's a lot thinner.
But
this cover, I don't know, is it was marked in the box.
But
cheap leather.
But
cheap synthetic leather.
Your new phone.
Yep, new phone. This is the HTC Touch Pro. It has a screen, which is 2.8 inches. It's a VGA screen, which means it's 640 by 480 in resolution, which means that on a screen this size is about 240 dpi, which is as good as like a professionally printed, you know, high quality book.
Yeah.
So the text on it looks fucking awesome. I mean, just look at it, dude.
Yeah, it does.
It just
at the end of the day, it's a tool, it's a device. It does its functionality, and you as a person, as an individual, require a set functionality. The reason why I have an iPhone, you have that.
The reason you have an iPhone is because you're an Apple fanboy.
Yeah. But you know what I mean?
This phone isn't very good, but I don't mind.
But you've got certain boxes, and you want to make sure it ticks the boxes. And that's what, even when you told me this straight away, I know the boxes you want ticked, and that ticks.
VGA was my primary box.
Yeah, because you kept Googling on my whole phone with the VGA screen. And
yeah, the VGA screen, I was waiting for years for it to be on a device this size, instead of a regular size pocket PC, and it finally happened with the HTC Touch Diamond, which is the non-keyboard version of the Touch Pro. VGA screen, it's mine finally. VGA screen in my, I mean, the thing is, when you've got this and you go back to your fucking computer and you think, fucking hell, that's shit dpi. I mean, I run my tablet at 120 the tablet's about 140 dpi, so it's not too bad, but I mean, just look at the fucking, look at the size of the pixels on that compared to this. You know, I want my screen to be 240 dpi. I want to look at it and, you know, it just looks gorgeous.
Yeah.
Because I'm getting fussy. I'm fussy, man. Look at that. Look, man, I can see pixels. See that cursor? That's one pixel across. That's ridiculous. Right, so anyway, yeah. Good phone. Manufactured by HTC. The same people who manufactured, like, everything.
Yeah.
Smartphones. I mean, they often manufacture, well, they primarily manufacture things under somebody else's name, like O2, T-Mobile, Orange. They all sell HTC devices under their own name. Yeah. So what do I have to think about it? Well, it's a Windows Mobile 6.1 phone. It has a custom UI, which is quite swish, although perhaps a little too swish.
Yeah.
They could tone down the swishness, I think. Because it does, you know, I'm doing something and I'm thinking, fucking hell. It was a lot faster when I just had the regular, you know, Windows Mobile interface, and I could just go bang, bang, bang. Where this, it's slide, bang, slide, bang, and, you know. So it's cool. It comes with a decent web browser. It does come with Internet Explorer, but it comes with Opera Mobile, or Mini, or I think it's Mobile, they call it. Mini's the free Java one, I think, which is, they've done a really good job on it. It's Opera 9. Fantastic web browser, easily comparable to any other, you know, decent web browser out there. It's fast at rendering pages, unless you're on GPRS and it's fucking 10 minutes to download the data. But if you've got, you know, a 3G connection or HSDPA or Wi-Fi, it's fine. It has a camera, which is 3.0.
You need a magnifying glass to find out.
Yeah, it's the resolution is too good. 3.2 megapixel camera with focus as well, and a flash
video.
Of course it does video, it's not an iPhone. It also does multimedia messages as well. Heard of those?
Yeah, a long time
ago. Remember those? So yeah, I mean, the UI, check out the UI, just put in a, you know, search for HTC Touch Diamond on YouTube, and there's plenty of videos of the UI. It's very swish, easy to use. You don't really need to know how to use it. It's all fairly obvious. Touchscreen, obviously, with a multi-touch directional control with also tactile buttons as well. which there's four hardware buttons on it, not counting the power and volume buttons, which is home, back, hang up, and you know, pick the phone up, as well as a four, I think it's four-way, I don't think it's eight-way D-pad with a like enter button on it as well. Volume is cool. So that Swish, it's got a YouTube application built in as well. YouTube videos look really good on it.
Yeah, I must admit, like with the iPhone and stuff, that having YouTube actually on a small device is better than watching them on PC, because like with that, the resolution quality, all of a sudden, the YouTube videos look better.
It supports the high resolution videos as well, so not just the regular... things. It does the high quality ones as well, which is good because the high quality ones are a bit better, especially sound wise. It only has a mono speaker, which is a downgrade from my HTC Wizard, which had stereo speakers on either side.
Yeah,
I don't think the sound quality is as good from an external point of view, but it's still, you know, reasonable for a phone. It's just I'm used to the HTC Wizard, which was kick ass. Comes with Google Maps installed, Word, Excel, PowerPoint, OneNote, all that installed. It comes with a really awesome RSS application as well.
Nice.
Which is good. You can set it up to automatically download podcasts and all that sort of thing. So the next time I dock it in there, if I've got an updated podcast, it'll go and grab it and then flush out any old ones in case it's running out of space. It does that automatically, so that's cool.
What's Messenger like?
Normal version of Messenger. So kick-ass with tabs, and you can send voice and files and do all that. It's like, you know, the full-fledged Messenger version, Windows Mobile on it, so if you've got Hotmail or whatever, you can use that. You can set up multiple email accounts. What else? So yes, HSDPA, up to 7.2 megabits per second. Assuming you can find a phone company which would push that much. Battery life on this. Battery life is obviously, you know, for high-powered smartphones is an issue. But Touch Diamond will get you a day before it needs charging from, like, quite, you know, moderate usage. This is quite good. I deliberately didn't charge it from Friday afternoon all the way until I finished work Saturday afternoon, and it was 70% charged. That's with, you know, fairly moderate use. I listened to a bunch of podcasts on it, a bit of music, watched a couple of YouTube videos, and, like, you know, 70% still charged. So it's a lot better than a Touch Diamond because it's got a bigger battery than a Touch Diamond. As a Touch Diamond, they, you know, obviously tried to make it as slim as, you know, and good looking as possible, but this they thought, well, fuck it. We've got a keyboard on it, which makes it humongous.
Might as well use the space.
Might as well put a big battery. Underneath the cover, we've got, if I can remember how to get it off. No, I can't. Okay, it's not gonna.
Yeah, okay, don't break it.
You've got a battery under there. The micro SD slot is under the battery cover, which, you know, it's.
Yay.
Handprint on the screen. So you've got micro SD in there. I've only got 1 gig in there at the moment because my 8 gig doesn't arrive till tomorrow. Battery, all that jazz under there.
Cool.
That's cute. Also, is a slide out QWERTY keyboard, 5 row, fully illuminated. Really nice keyboard.
I do like that. It's. It reminds me of the QWERTY keyboard on
your Universal.
Yeah.
Good keyboard.
Yeah.
Fingerprints. So yeah, the interface is fully, you can use your finger for everything. I mean, you know, you click up these tiny icons here and you get this chunky thing come up to help you select. You can close applications down directly as well from the thing there, which is... It normally works. So that's cool. I'll just show you the album application quite quickly. So if we click on that scary picture there, it's got the regular, you know, you can swishy around and, you know, rotate it, and it does all the swishy stuff. You can also zoom in and out using the scrolly wheel.
That's
so
cool.
That's fun. It's a really nice phone. Like I said, check out the stuff which is on YouTube. Negative points. There are some negative points. One, it's a fingerprint magnet.
Same with the iPhone. It's just, you get them all over
the place.
I
don't know why they flipping do it. It's like, you know, the Cradle, again, it's a shiny surface.
Mm.
It's even worse on the Diamond, where the back is shiny as well.
Yeah. Is the one thing that I have noticed, like with the iPhone, is that the aluminium back casing is actually the MacBook Pro aluminium back casing. Now, the back casing for the 3G is actually the MacBook standard one. That's why it comes in white
and
black.
Well, it's plastic on the 3G.
Yeah. And that's that is all because the MacBooks, oh my god, it is the fight between you want to go into a Mac store or PC World, shut the lid on both MacBooks, and then put your hand on and see which one shows up your handprint the worst before you choose. You don't choose between black and white, you choose which one doesn't show the fingerprints up as much. Reminds me of the original iPods. So yeah, you have that issue of a lot of products now are going from these
they like shiny... the shiny thing, and the thing is people seem to fucking put up with it.
Yeah, look at the upgrade on PSP. Went from a shiny front that was translucent over a coloured plate for the black with a non-fingerprint plastic over the back that was all gradient so that it was all like that. And now the whole entire thing is encased like a MacBook black. It's just all shiny and it just...
Yep.
Fingerprint magnet.
Apparently the Asian markets really dig the shiny thing.
Hmm.
Charger is also shiny. Headphones are also shiny. The charger is actually quite cool. You've got a USB cable which plugs into the charger, which plugs into an actual plug thing, so you can just swap out the pins if you're like going abroad or whatever.
Yeah.
So yeah, it is a fingerprint magnet, which unfortunately is like many phones these days.
Yeah.
Because my old Wizard, it was filthy, but you couldn't see it.
I didn't get a choice with it with the iPhone because it won't accept anything other than my fingers. But I have noticed that it's. Because
I always use a stylus if I'm not showing off.
If I'm not dabbing on stuff, a lot of the time I'm swishing.
Swishing is bad.
So I'm getting rid of it, but I'm always making sure my hands are clean, so I'm not scratching the screen or anything like that.
Yeah, I've not bothered with a screen protector. I never have in the past.
No, I never.
I'm not going to scratch it. I mean, well, you're not going to scratch it with a stylus. I mean,
yeah.
If you were cleaning it and there was a bit of really hard sonic rubber, yeah, you might be able to scratch it, but it's fairly tough. I actually did do a bit of a test. I took a nail to it at the corner of the screen. If you would just see, if you look really carefully, there's a little mark.
Mm.
I was testing the edge of the screen to see how scratches, and that was like a nail, like an actual metal nail going back and forth, and it did leave a bit of a mark. But I'm fairly confident the screen is fairly scratch resistant. Oh my god, I damaged my phone. But that's cool. Front camera, unlike the iPhone. And you can tell it to use that. Also, GPS built in, Wi-Fi built in. It's got everything.
Yeah.
If there's a phone out there with a feature you want, it's got it. It's, like I said, GPS. You can install TomTom on it or whatever. One of the other really cool features is when you remove the stylus, automatically turns on. That's cool.
Magnetic stylus as well, so you won't have to worry about the whole clicker breaking and the damn thing falling out. Especially
the Wizard stylus was terrible. It was a telescopic stylus, which is good for a few months until it starts getting gooped up and it doesn't automatically extend when you pull it out.
Yeah.
And then you have to do it yourself.
And then the same thing with the Universal. That one was fully long all the time. Aluminium, very nice to hold. But after a while, the catch was going, and I was pulling it out, and the damn thing fell out of my pocket.
Yep, so this is magnetic. You can even stick it to the side of the device.
That's cool.
It's quite a fairly strong magnet as well. And it just clicks in like that. On the bottom, you've got one. It's a mini USB port, but it's a slightly odd-shaped. It will still accept regular mini USB cables, but what HTC have done for some reason is making that shape. I assume it's for something to do with the headphones, because the headphones, instead of being like a 2.5 jack,
they actually plug
into that. Headphones, fairly good quality, sounds good.
But it means that the headphones, if you break them, you're going to have to go and get...
HTC ones.
Yeah. The advantage does mean that you are, you're running on one port.
Yeah. Also, it's got TV out, although you need a specific cable for that, which plugs in there, which I don't have.
Mm-hmm.
So TV out actually works quite well. There's no slowdown or anything like that, because it's literally just taking the display and putting it somewhere else. It's not doing any extra processing or anything. So you can watch videos on it quite happily. Video-wise, it'll play DivX up to fairly good quality without a hitch. It's unlike the Wizard, which was really iffy, because it was, the Wizard only had a 200 megahertz processor. This is a 528 megahertz processor. So video performance is a hell of a lot better, even though it's pushing four times as many pixels because of the VGA display. Other negative points. Oh, slide out keyboard. It makes a funny noise when you slide it out.
Yeah.
Because what it is there's a little catch there, and that's got all the wires underneath. And that's, you know, the Wizard was a really solid mechanism for the slide out mechanism, and you thought, that's never going to break. This, you know, I wouldn't like want to swing it around like that. Yeah. But the Wizard was solid. But it is partly because they put a 5-row keyboard, and so the amount of space they've got left is much reduced, because it is a smaller device than the Wizard.
Yeah.
Weight-wise, it is quite weighty compared to the Diamond, but it's still in the same range as an iPhone.
Yeah, it's got that nice weight that you're not kind of...
Is it in my pocket or have I lost it? You know, you can feel it in your pocket, which is good. Mm. FM radio built in as well.
Oh, cool.
You do need to have the headphones plugged in because they act as an aerial.
Yeah.
But you can set it to output from the speaker anyway, so you can still listen to it. FM radio, fairly good quality. It's only FM, no AM. It's funky. We have a gadget built in with a windscreen wiper, which is the whole reason people buy the phone.
Yeah.
Built-in games. You've got the regular Windows mobile games like Bubble Breaker and Solitaire.
Yeah.
You've also got a game called Teeter, which is like a labyrinth maze game, which uses the motion sensor in the device, and it's really good. You know, when the ball moves around, you can actually feel it bounce off the walls because it activates the vibration a bit. Oh, there's... I fell. Ringtone-wise, fairly good selection. You've got the regular Windows sounds, plus you've got some HTC-specific ones. Let's just see if I can bring one up really quickly. So you can also have the regular screen taps. So when you tap the screen, it makes a noise. I turn that off because it's annoying.
Yeah.
Although it is good for when you're actually doing something hardcore and you want to make sure it's registered all the tabs. That's the default ring.
How do you turn the volume up?
I never have the volume up high. Fairly good. It's got loads of junk audio crap on there.
Cool.
What else? Performance is fairly good. I would like it to be faster.
As wouldn't everybody.
But with the TouchFlow 3D interface running, it's just a plug-in on the home screen. It does consume quite a bit of resources. At the moment, out of the 288 megs of RAM, I'm using 50%, and that's with like Opera open, File Explorer open, Album open, Calculator open, Calendar open, ActiveSync open, RSS Hub open. So unlike the iPhone, it is really good at multitasking. Yeah. You can copy and paste, which for the RSS Hub was good, because on the iPhone, you go to a website, you see an RSS thing, and say you've downloaded one of the RSS readers from the App Store. You have to grab a piece of paper, fucking jot down what the address is, then go to the RSS thing and type it in.
Yeah.
And it's like...
It is one of the features I'm wanting about, and they have mentioned that it's something that they're looking into, but...
They have to do it if they want it to take off in business. Yeah. They need copy and paste. It's a good feature, Apple.
Yeah.
And Control-C, Control-V, Control-X, Control-Z.
The good thing about it, there is already the cursor built in. You put your thumb over some text, and all of a sudden you grow a magnifying glass out the end of your thumb. So that comes out, and because the cursor is under your thumb, it shows you where your thumb is, and you can go backwards and forwards to find where you want to go, and then you go, that's not spelled right. You let go, hit delete, and then retype in what you want. And obviously that means that you could hold it up and go, right, I want to go from there, select all over here. But obviously it's only a small bit, so the rest of it's normal screen, so you could go, well, I want all of that, and tap, and then hit copy sort of thing. And with the multi-touch, it's programmable in, but it's one of those features that they've just left out for now. So hopefully they will put it in. But
it's coming, don't worry.
Yeah.
Windows Mobile's had it since the Ice Age, but what can you do?
Yeah.
App-wise, 18,000 applications, many of which are freeware. There's no App Store, which I think is one of the good advantages with the iPhone. So you do have to go rooting around BitTorrent websites for your apps, but that's cool. there's plenty of free games out there like Call of Duty 2 and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Although I've not actually tried Call of Duty 2 yet. But, you know, it's all 3D games and everything.
Mm.
Age of Empires, if you want to go back to my oldies, SimCity 2000.
Yeah.
Hacked version, well, not a hacked version, a custom rip-off clone of Lemmings. Loads of stuff, really.
Are you pleased with it?
Other than the things I don't like about it, like the fingerprint magnet.
Yeah, I
like the sliding mechanism to be a bit tougher.
Yeah, straight away you can tell
and,
you don't like that.
And another problem is TouchFlow 3D. Although it's swishy and nice and easy to use, there are times when I wish I didn't have this shit running. But the trouble is, you can do whatever you want to do anyway quicker than you could disable TouchFlow. I mean, you can still get it all the regular stuff, but TouchFlow is in the way. And there are times, because I am a hardcore Windows Mobile person who's had 20 Windows Mobile devices over the last 50 years, and this is new with a new UI.
Can you turn that off and just have the standard Windows with the list of everything?
Yeah, you can turn it off. It's just a plugin. You just go into Start, Settings, Today, and there's your list of plugins.
Okay.
And it's just one of the items, and you can just disable it like any other one. But the trouble is, you know, I had it disabled the other day, and I thought, wow, you know what? Even though it sucks, I actually like
it. Yeah, it's an interface.
I like the time, because it sits on my desk there.
And it's nice clock.
And I can see the time. Because the clock is really nice. Fucking fingerprints. Out of 5, I'd give it a 4. I'd give it a higher rating if it didn't have all this fucking shiny shit with it. So yeah, if you're after a Windows Mobile device, no question, the Touch Diamond and the Touch Pro are the two epic devices out there. Touch Diamond, 100 quid less.
Mm.
You lose flash, you have a smaller battery, you lose the keyboard, and you lose micro SD slot, but you've got 4 gig built-in storage.
Yeah.
Or you can pay 100 quid extra and get all those features in the Touch Pro. Touch Diamond is available on Orange. Everyone's got it now, the Touch Diamond, although O2 call it the XDA Ignito or something gay.
Yeah.
Or you can just buy it for about £400.
It is the thing, you want something that ticks all those boxes, sometimes you do have to pay that.
Yeah, Touch Pro only available on Vodafone at the moment, or you can buy the device on its own for about 500 quid.
The advantage is you don't have one that's got O2 written on it.
And you don't have an O2 theme, because all the phone companies have been customising the UI with their colour.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted the normal HTC. Plus, the advantage of getting an HTC one is I can go to HTC's website and download ROMs.
Yeah.
Well, not ROMs, firmware updates, should I say. So that's cool. Let's just put this back in the cradle where it belongs.
You still don't have to figure that one out, have you?
Thank you. Well, yeah, my other phone, it was like a more up angle.
Yeah. I must admit, I am pleased with mine. A lot of money to spend, but there's no icks and niggles that are bothering me at the moment. Fair enough, it's a new device and I'm spending half the time thinking it's aluminium, I don't want to scratch it.
Let's just talk about the light. The light on it is epic. When you're charging it, it slowly pulsates up the phone, so it's actually like current is flowing into it.
Mm.
What else?
I do like it because it's the same LED that's on the front of the MacBook, because that pulses to say that it's gone to bed.
One thing I haven't noticed though is on a lot of phones, when you use Bluetooth, the light turns blue. It doesn't turn blue. It would have been kind of cool, but I can live without it.
Mm.
Other than that, awesome phone.
Sweet.
If you want an iPhone, but want something better than an iPhone, that's definitely what you get.
I would say from looking at it, if you like, if the iPhone is getting your attention, but you want a mobile device, which is...
But you want something with more power, more RAM, more storage...
You don't
want it to fucking link in with iTunes and have the option that Apple can blow up the device and delete your applications off of it.
I like my iPhone, and I had a mobile media device. I liked all the other applications it did. I never used half of it. The bits I use,
hey, look, let's do.
Are on my iPhone. It ticks.
It does what you do. It does what you need. Yeah.
It ticks my boxes. But if you like the iPhone for what the iPhone is.
Get an HTC Touch Diamond.
But you want more. I would say this is because so many people are going, well, I like the whole iPhone thing, but I don't want the iPhone. So they're going to a lot of these other ones, which, like someone at work, she got one, Nokia, but anyway,
Samsung, something or other.
Yeah, sort of thing. And yeah, it was cool, and it did have kind of like the Vista bar down the side with all these applications, and you could slide them out, and they expanded bigger. And she said after a while that was getting freaking annoying, and you kept losing stuff. And it started cutting off in mid conversation, and it's crashing now and again. So.
Let's just clarify, that was not a Windows Mobile device.
No, it was not running Windows on it.
Windows
whatsoever.
Mobile is fairly stable. I've had one crash on it,
yeah,
which was the Teeter game crashing.
Yeah.
It crashed on level 24.
But yeah, if you want an iPhone...
But it doesn't take down the whole operating system like other phones.
Yeah.
Because it is Windows.
So, for that, at least you're getting a lot of the features. People are wanting something that is stylish. You're not looking business, you're looking style. You want slick.
You're getting a bit of swish with a bit of power.
Yeah.
Epic power. 288 megs of RAM in your face, gay phone. Your fruit phone is officially dead. Fruit phone, boy. And your fruit book.
Fruit book? Yeah, my mum commented on the fact, she goes, I hope you do realise that someone's eating your apple. She thinks it's funny that there's a bite taken out of the apple symbol.
I prefer the one which has a maggot crawling out of it.
Yeah, I like it. I must admit.
Touch Diamond is also a very, you know, now I've got it. I was really hardcore on having that keyboard, but I only use the keyboard maybe 20-30% of the time. So I was, you know, it's really the Diamond is also a very capable device, and it is really good. And it's like smaller as well.
You use the keyboard a lot more than your previous one, because the other keyboard that wasn't there, you really couldn't use your fingers. You had to use the thing. With at least this one, if you wanted to, one-handed, you don't have to use the stylus. You could type away, and you don't have to use
that. Yeah, the only thing is with the on-screen keyboards is the full QWERTY is good, but I still have problems finger jabbing. I make mistakes.
Yeah.
So I'm semi-tempted to go to the phone keypad. But then I'm thinking, fucking hell, I'm pressing the buttons three times more than I need to press.
Yeah.
So it's, you know,
for the effort, you could go two-handed and pull the keyboard.
I suppose I could install Voice Commander and just do dictation, but I'll probably get it all wrong.
Yeah. Cool.
So yeah, that's the HTC Touch Pro. Awesome phone.
That's our new toys. We're supposed to be spending our hard-earned cash.
One more thing I want to show you. Yeah.
Nice.
My computer, even though mine's now been dropped, actually shows a picture of a device. So that's cool, and you know, in Windows.
Sweet, I like that.
So do I like it.
Yeah, that's our new toys. I'm sure we'll be mentioning more about them, because as I get to learn my Mac, and I'm probably going to be bringing the Mac a lot more to Gamercast, so that I've got an ability to look at a website while Paul's looking at a website, and I'm not doing the whole "give me the mouse" so I can look at something.
Cheeky bastard.
So it makes it a bit more interesting, because before old episodes, sometimes I would actually go on the spare computer,
spare computer's noisy,
and I've got my back to the microphone when I do that, so it's going to make things a bit easier. And if we do one where we've got something to play, like if Paul's got a new app for his phone and we want to start going into it more,
new firmware, boy.
Firmware.
This is my new hacked firmware, which has stuff.
So we'd be able to do the YouTube thing when we finally come to a conclusion of what we want to do with it. So, yeah.
Wow, this is a really long episode.
Yes, we apologise for the length.
It's nearly 9 o'clock.
Yeah, Sarah's probably kicked my ass. Right. I think it's.
Are we back next week?
We are back next week.
Well, hey, and that episode will be 3 hours of Spore.
Yeah, next
hopefully
week.
It won't be 3 hours of me telling everyone how much Spore is a disappointment.
Yeah, hopefully not.
But you never know.
Maybe next week, because we've got a little bit more extra time, because Sarah is going to be in Barcelona. I'll come up with a MacBook, and maybe we can do a...
I'm going to come up with my motion tablet PC, LE1700. Stop calling it that. I'm going to come up with my computer. Thank you.
Yeah, I'll come up with my notebook, and...
Don't call it a notebook, Eve. I don't like notebook.
I'm going to come up with my metal thing that... Looks like
maybe a computer.
Yeah, and
I got a computer.
Maybe we'll maybe look into a bit of YouTube and looking at Spore, and maybe look at some of the things we like about it. So we might have a bit of a Spore episode next week, unless there's anything majorly happening. We'll see. Play it by ear. But we've got plenty of time to sort out the show, because I'm going to have a bit more time, because the missus is abroad.
Sweet. So, that's it.
I hope she doesn't listen.
No.
I
am going to miss her terribly. I really am. But it means that a lot of the projects that I get on and do, I can...
A lot of Adam's crazy schemes can get done without interruption.
Yeah.
Adam, are you sure you should be knocking holes in that wall? Adam, would you tidy up that mess?
Yeah. Last week, I got to the point where it was middle of this week. I got to the point where I finished painting the bathroom. And as I'm doing the last couple of strokes, I realised there's shitloads of paint dribbling down the wall. Went to go stop it. And then realised that it was moving a little bit faster than me and it wasn't paint. And then I realised that the whole wall is covered in water and there's water gushing down our bathroom wall. And the guy upstairs having a bath, and the bath is leaked and it's hit the floor and it's coming straight through the ceiling. After we've just spent £1,000 having our bathroom redone.
God.
Luckily, I had to go upstairs and Sarah could hear me running all the way up through the flat to the flat above us, banging on the door and saying, can you turn it all off? And then he turned it all off and he's not had a bath since. So we're about to put it into the landlord to have it fixed. To his landlord, because we own our flat. But yeah, he's not having a bath anymore. And no water's come down. Shower seems to be fine, but when he's having a bath, I think it's using those taps, leaks the water from the taps and it goes straight down. But luckily,
shout out to Kathleen, level 35.
Level 35.
What's Brinley 41?
Yeah.
The Brinley had better start. Yeah, can you play tonight?
No, I won't be able to get on tonight.
When's your missus on holiday?
Thursday.
Okay. We have to do Razor Fen Downs at some point.
Yes, we'll
do some dungeon. I want some crazy dwarf paladin in there.
Okay. Well, what I will do is I'll sort out mouse and my new gamepad and I'll come up here.
Oh, really? You want to use my interwebs?
And I'll be on that.
You're not fucking bringing that up here.
Then I can don't have to, I can yell to you, and you don't have to...
You can use that computer. That computer will run it better. Fucking cheeky bastard. Come up here with your computer.
Yeah. Right.
Using my electricity.
I'll run off a battery.
Yeah, then it's dead halfway through the dungeon. Great.
Plug it in, we're gonna die.
Oh, right. No, my magnetic cable is stuck on something else. Get it off.
Right. Well, we're done, and we'll see you guys next week for a bit of Spore action.
Well, hey, Spore.
Right.
It better not suck.
Yeah. If it sucks, we're not going to be disappointed. This is either going to be a Spore-loving episode or a Spore-hating episode. Right. I think that was your computer going to sleep. Right, we will see you guys next week.